QST, from the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for September 18, 2013. The Aries Audio E-Letter Report is a voice version of the Aries E-Letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. The Aries E-Letter is available online at arrl.org/ares-el, or you may listen to the audio version at arrl.org/ares-e-letter-audio-version. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland, and my audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. In this issue, we have for you Docket of Disaster. Major conference in Michigan involves planning for amateur radio. Fireball 2013, Tennessee Emergency Management Agency exercise. Florida amateurs support Kiwanis Midnight Run public service event. Field Day 2013, Virgin Islands Emergency Management Agency Director lauds amateur radio. Trans-Pacific exercise, great showing. FEMA, 10th Annual National Preparedness Month. Got water? New Twitter address for ARRL Aries and K1CE for a final. Those are the headlines. Now here are the stories. Docket of Disaster. A spate of natural disasters and resulting Aries responses have been reported by ARRL recently. Here's a digest. Colorado storms and flooding. More than 6 Aries volunteers have deployed in and around flood-stricken counties of Colorado, providing critical communication for Red Cross shelters and state and local emergency operations centers. Recent heavy rains have caused veritable mountainside tsunamis that have caused rivers and streams to overflow their banks, ravaged roads and property, and displaced an undetermined number of residents. At least 3 people are known to have died. ARRL Colorado Section Manager Jack Ciacci, WM0G, says that with power cut off to affected communities and many cell phone towers along the Big Thompson River toppled by the flooding, ham radio is providing medical and health and welfare traffic between evacuation centers and the EOCs. Morgan Incident Fire, California. The Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, or RACES, went on standby alert, and the Red Cross and the Salvation Army Team Emergency Radio Network, or SATERN, were called out in the wake of the so-called Morgan Incident Fire in Chaparral, southeast of Clayton, California. The blaze, on the eastern flank of the north peak of Mount Diablo, put at least 4 Mount Diablo Amateur Radio Club repeaters off the air on September 8th. Hurricane Watch Net activates for Hurricane Ingrid. Hurricane Watch Net, or HWN manager Bobby Graves, KB5HAV, announced that the net planned to activate Sunday, September 15th at 1500 UTC on 14.325 MHz in response to the approach of Hurricane Ingrid. Hurricane Ingrid is only the second hurricane of the 2013 season. Aries RACES stands down after rimfire at Yosemite. Amateur radio volunteers supporting the Red Cross and local government in the wake of the gigantic rim fire in and near California's Yosemite National Park and the Stanislaus National Forest have stood down after 16 days on duty. The initial call-out on August 19th responded to a request to assist the Red Cross in setting up an evacuation center in Groveland, California. You may read more about these stories online at www.arrl.org/news. This is the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for September 18, 2013. We'll pause now to allow stations to identify. A major conference in Michigan involves planning for amateur radio. John J. McDonough, WB8RCR, Michigan's Emergency Management Coordinator, RACES Officer, and ARRL Section Emergency Coordinator, filed a report on a major state planning meeting that had wide-ranging implications for amateur radio. The conference was sponsored by the state's Emergency Management Agency, which is the Michigan State Police. The Emergency Management and Homeland Security Division of the Michigan State Police, or EMHSD, hosted the conference at the Great Wolf Lodge in Traverse City, August 21st and 22nd. Representatives from ARES, RACES, MARS, Saturn, and the Civil Air Patrol from each district, as well as county emergency management coordinators and the State Police District Coordinator, attended the conference. The conference was kicked off with a keynote speech by Tony Katarski, the Assistant Division Commander of EMHSD, who pointed out how the involvement of amateur radio has become more important as the reliance on technology grows. Mr. Katarski said he recognizes the fragility of the state's infrastructure, particularly in the face of growing cyber threats. Conference organizer and state EOC engineer Don Buford reviewed how we might coordinate and work together on this point in the future. Forums followed, giving county emergency managers and volunteer radio operators the opportunity to share their perceptions and potential opportunities on this theme. Mr. McDonough gave a presentation reviewing the breadth of amateur radio and trained volunteers' capabilities for the benefit of emergency managers who were unaware of current technologies like NBEMS, packet, and slow scan television, or of the incredible range of frequencies and RF propagation aspects that amateurs are privileged to use in emergency and disaster response communications and serve the public interest. The conferees closed the first day with a presentation from the state's technology department on their interoperability initiatives and discussed the state's evolving communication system, the Michigan Public Safety Communication System, or MPSCS, and how dependent the state is on it. The next morning, an EMHSD district coordinator outlined the role of his position in emergency management. In addition to managing the various county emergency management coordinators, the district coordinators attend every EOC that is activated and provide eyes and ears for the governor, who keeps close watch on any event in the state. Mr. McDonough said, "The current governor pays particular attention to any incident, and I have been privileged to participate in an exercise where the governor himself was an active player." Randy Williams, KD8MOK, from the Department of Technology, Management, and Budget, then gave a presentation on Michigan's interoperability initiative and made a plea for amateurs to get involved with the initiative for better understanding of the needs of the state for communications support in the event of an infrastructure disruption. The conferees broke up into groups by districts to discuss how to move forward and the opportunities posed by potential grant projects. Mr. McDonough said that Michigan is a diverse state and each district is quite different, but more attention was paid to improvement, simply sitting down and talking about issues raised in the "just do it" category. Mr. McDonough concluded his report by saying, "As we closed, each district reported back to the entire group, and it was clear that every district's discussions were very productive." The state police indicated that they would like to see this conference become an annual event, and Mr. McDonough said, "I think everyone was pleased with the progress made over 2 short days. Fireball 2013, Tennessee Emergency Management Agency Exercise. Dubbed Fireball 2013, this exercise was planned for September 12th through 14th at press time. Sponsored by the Tennessee Emergency Management Agency, or TEMA, The purpose of the exercise is to provide a forum for participants to practice passing messages and conducting simultaneous nets with all three Mars branches and amateur radio for emergency response to a large-scale or catastrophic event. It includes passing messages between all of these services using both voice and data. Goals are to consider medical facility evacuation needs and present possible solutions. Consider shelter and evacuation needs and opportunities. Provide practice and training in field deployment. And identify logistical challenges and opportunities and suggest solutions. All for the benefit of local and state EOCs. Consideration of additional communications needs and support for existing systems was also to be a priority. The scenario involves the drought conditions in Tennessee and the consequent threat of wildfire, which are seen as cascading events. Responders will be tested on their ability to support evacuations of more than 5,000 citizens with Mars and amateur radio used for communications functions. Our thanks go out to Steve Waterman, K4CJX, in Nashville, Tennessee, for this report. Mr. Waterman is a WinLink 2000 network administrator. Florida amateurs support Kiwanis Midnight Run public service event. Kevin Poorman, KV4CT, the ARRL Public Information Officer and Assistant Emergency Coordinator for Pinellas County, Florida, filed this report. Dateline, Dunedin, Florida, July 15, 2013. Amateur radio operators from Pinellas County, Florida Auxiliary Communications Service, or ACS, Ares, Eastlake CERT, and the Tampa Amateur Radio Club manned critical communications posts along the Kiwanis Midnight Run race route to ensure the safety of the participants during the event held on July 3rd and 4th, 2013. In all, 22 hams manned 13 positions that evening, including shadowing Dunedin EMS personnel. There were three separate events: a 1 mile run with 199 participants, a 5K run with 1,261 participants, and the 10K run with 570 participants, a total of 2,030 runners. During the 4-hour event, hams assisted in alerting EMS teams of two runners in need. One runner had fallen, the other was experiencing breathing problems. Both runners had to be transported by ambulance to the hospital. David Moore, KK4DLX, said, "Not only does an event like this provide a means to test our emergency communications preparedness, it also provides a great service to a worthy cause. Providing communications and EMS support for the runners helps keep them safe, but also helps us in the long run to ensure we are ready when called upon in a large-scale emergency event." The Kiwanis Morton Plant Meese Midnight Run is held annually on the evening of July 3rd and into the morning of July 4th. The previous 33 Midnight Run events have raised more than $640,000 for the Kiwanis Clubs of Dunedin and the Top of the Bay Community Service activities. The Pinellas County Amateur Radio Emergency Service is proud to serve the Pinellas County Auxiliary Communications Service and meets on the third Thursday of the month at the Pinellas County EOC. This is the ARRL e-letter for September 18, 2013. It's time to pause once again to allow repeaters to identify. Field Day 2013. Virgin Islands Emergency Management Agency Director, Lauds Amateur Radio. Fred Kleber, NP2X/K9VV, the president of the St. Croix Amateur Radio Club and the ARRL U.S. Virgin Islands section manager, relayed this quote from the U.S. Virgin Islands Territorial Emergency Management Agency, or VITEMA Director Elton Lewis, on the occasion of Field Day 2013 there. "As an emergency management agency," Mr. Lewis said, "building a strong relationship with the ham radio operator community is critical. They can come through in catastrophic events where even our best communications infrastructure may not survive. This was very evident in Hurricane Hugo, when our communications capabilities were wiped out. VITEMA continues to work and train side by side with Virgin Island Amateur Radio Clubs, and in fact, they are embedded in our organization. I encourage everyone to take a moment to see the public demonstrations and to learn more about amateur radio. Mr. Kleber also noted that VITEMA was also kind enough to greatly enhance the operation by allowing the field day group to use their MCOM van. Trans-Pacific exercise, great showing. Dateline, Fort Huachuca, Arizona. Everything about Pacific Endeavor 13, or PE-13, was simulated, except for one big surprise. Electric power actually failed in Pacifica, the simulated disaster-battered Asian nation that a small band of amateurs around the globe were seeking to assist. It happened right at the start of the globe-spanning exercise, organized by the U.S. Department of Defense on Sunday night, August 25th, into Monday morning, August 26th. At amateur station 9N1AA in Nepal, the real Pacifica, Dr. Sanjeev Pandey and fellow operators kept going on battery power with only 25 watts output. But a stroke of the other kind of luck provided a low-power digital link to an amateur in Afghanistan. Dr. Pandey had joined Army Mars only days before the exercise. Although the operation only lasted under 3 hours, months had gone into preparing for Pacific Endeavor 13. The Pentagon and the U.S. Pacific Command set it up as a test of amateur emergency support in Asia after Japan's tsunami catastrophe, using procedures of the International Amateur Radio Union. Mars, military stations, and amateurs all collaborated on this exercise. Paul English, the Army Mars program officer, said, "We had stations monitoring in the continental U.S., Hawaii, Japan, Germany, and Afghanistan. There was only intermittent reception in Germany and the United States on PSK-31, but we had a solid connection between Nepal and Afghanistan. Approximately 2 hours and 20 minutes into the exercise, power was restored in Nepal, and we did have marginal voice communications from Nepal to Afghanistan and Germany. We were able to submit a number of spot info reports to the Pacific Command and respond to a number of information requests in a timely manner. This was a great showing by all." A star of the show was PSK-31, the very basic digital mode that travels well on low power, even in the otherwise grim propagation conditions during PE-13. Mr. English added, "When power was restored in Nepal, we did make limited voice contacts with Afghanistan. Germany and Hawaii could hear but not talk to Nepal. Propagation for voice only lasted a few minutes." A preliminary account had a total of 60 stations logged at Mars headquarters at Fort Huachuca, Arizona, and the station in Germany of Mars Region Director Daniel Wolf. Participants, including Mars stations in the United States and Japan, used their amateur call signs. One unique feature of PE-13 was use of the Defense Department's Open Bulletin Board for Civil Emergencies, called APAN, which stands for All Partners Access Network. Army Mars Operations Chief David McGinnis coordinated the information flow via APAN to the Department of Defense and the U.S. Pacific Command. Mr. English also commented, "There are many lessons learned from this exercise, and I hope for a great learning process for all participants. Propagation was challenging throughout the exercise. We had real-world challenges, just as one would expect in a natural disaster." Amateur radio station 9N1AA had the last word when Dr. Pandey sent a message from his relay station, which was located along the Himalayas in Nepal, saying, "I am very thankful to you. You did a great job." We wish to thank Bill Sexton, N1IN, Army Mars for this report. It's time again to pause and allow stations to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for September 18, 2013. FEMA, 10th Annual National Preparedness Month. On September 4th, Federal Emergency Management Agency FEMA Administrator Craig Fugit, KK4INZ, kicked off the 10th Annual National Preparedness Month, or NPM, joining local New York City emergency management officials and the New York City Citizens Corps Council at the Children's Museum in Staten Island to talk about the importance of family and community emergency preparedness. Mr. Fugit said, each September, we commit to focusing our collective efforts on raising our level of readiness to be prepared for any potential hazard with National Preparedness Month. It's a time for us to promote individual and community preparedness. Mr. Fugit went on, events like the one today in New York serve as a reminder for all Americans to be prepared in order to successfully respond to and recover from emergencies and disasters. NPM is led by FEMA's READY campaign in partnership with the Citizens Corps and the Ad Council, and is a nationwide effort encouraging individuals, families, businesses, and communities to work together and take action to prepare for emergencies. In June 2003, the ARRL became an official affiliate program of Citizens Corps. The Statement of Affiliation made the ARRL an affiliate under the four charter Citizens Corps programs. Number 1, Neighborhood Watch. Number 2, Volunteers in Police Service. Number 3, Community Emergency Response Teams, or CERTs. And number 4, Medical Reserve Corps. NPM is an opportunity for Aries and other radio amateurs to disseminate emergency preparedness information and host sponsor activities across the country to help Americans understand what it truly means to be ready, and that they should be cognizant of neighborhood CERT and amateur radio operators for potential communications with the outside world in a disaster or emergency. You may follow READY online at www.twitter.com/readygov, with no spaces in that address, or www.facebook.com/readygov, again with no spaces, and www.youtube.com/FEMA, and YouTube is written as one word. You may also follow Administrator Craig Fugit's activities at twitter.com/Craig@FEMA. No spaces in that address. You may learn more about the READY campaign at www.ready.gov and the Citizens Corps at www.citizenscorps.gov. And Citizens Corps is one word, and that's spelled CITIZENSCORPS. Now, here are some dates for you to mark on your calendar. September 1st through September 30th, National Preparedness Month. October 6th through October 12th, National Fire Safety Week. October 17th, The Great Shakeout. See URL shakeout.org, and shakeout is written as one word. November 14th through November 16th, Wildfire Education Conference. That URL is www.nfpa.org/training. Got water? Has the water run dry in your emergency supply kit? Well, if so, it's time to fill her up. One of the most essential components of a disaster-ready kit is water. A well-maintained kit prepares you before disaster strikes. After an emergency, clean drinking water may not be available if your usual water source is cut off or contaminated. When replenishing your supply, remember that individual needs may vary depending on health, age, diet, and climate. As a general rule, store 1 gallon of water per person per day to last for at least 3 days. There are several options for building your water supply. The safest and most reliable choice is to buy commercially bottled water and open it only when you need to use it. Store the containers in a cool, dark place and note the expiration date. If you choose to prepare your own containers of water, purchase food-grade water storage containers from a surplus or camping supply store, or 2-liter plastic soda bottles, not bottles that contained milk or fruit juice. Keep in mind these containers must first be properly cleaned. To learn more about maintaining your kit, see www.ready.gov/maintaining-your-kit. Information about water treatment is also available at redcross.org, and Red Cross is one word. Credit for this information goes to FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency. New Twitter address for ARRL Aries. Effective September 16th, the Twitter address for ARRL Aries has changed. The new address is www.twitter.com/ARRL_Aries with no spaces. This feed is for Aries, public service communications, and other announcements of interest to Aries members and those interested in public service communications. It is managed from ARRL headquarters by the League's staff. It's time to pause one final time to allow repeaters to identify. This is the ARRL Aries Audio e-letter for September 18th, 2013. Now it's time for Rick Palm's K1CE for a final. I wrote the following in this column in the June 2013 issue. I recently loaded the software for RMS Express Winmore and managed to send an email message to myself via the Telnet mode and have moved on to adjusting the sound card and software for transmitting email messages over the air on the HF bands. Winmore is a sound card mode that is a less expensive alternative to the hard multi-mode data controllers, while admittedly sacrificing some efficiencies. The RMS Express Winmore combo sees a lot of use in disaster response communications planning and operations. I wanted to follow up on my experience. After some initial failures in connecting to a Winlink hub in order to send my drafted Winlink email message, I bought a superb little piece of equipment, a SignalLink USB digital interface that also incorporates a high-quality sound card. The onboard sound card greatly simplifies the processing of the signals back and forth between the laptop computer and the radio, in my case an ICOM IC7000. An inspired part of the overall RMS Express Winmore suite is the incorporation of a propagation utility, ITS, for use on HF for help in choosing the best hub based on the path for sending messages. It's all a bit intimidating at first, but the thrill of connecting to Bud Thompson's N0IA system on 40 meters here in Florida and uploading my first Winlink messages was not to be denied. It worked very well and efficiently sent my message to my own regular email account within seconds. The advantage of a global email network independent of local internet infrastructure is, without a doubt, a huge potential asset in major disaster response communications planning and operations. Just a tip or two, to set up the SignalLink unit for your specific radio and application, you need to open the case and push some jumper wires into some small sockets. As the original appliance operator, it made me nervous to have to perform this setup procedure with my 60-year-old eyes and poor hand-finger coordination. But I had no problem. Just go slowly and take as much time and concentration that you need to do it right the first time. You don't want to bend those itsy-bitsy wires too much, or you could end up breaking them off in the sockets with no hope of retrieving the stubs. Just be careful. And lastly, to run CW with the unit, the wires have to be reconfigured with different sockets. Don't bother futzing with it. Do what I do. Have another unit pre-configured for Morse code sending, and simply swap units as necessary. For CW sending, I use my tried-and-true Rig Blaster plug-and-play, another great little product. It plugs into your computer's USB port and into the radio's key jack. It works like a champ. I use the CW-type software with it. I received a letter from a reader who was disheartened about my apparent lack of attention to the NB-EMS suite, and in response, I downloaded the primary program files and will experiment with them as my next project. I'll report my experience here in a future issue. There was a good 2-page article on NB-EMS on page 70 in the September 2013 issue of QST Magazine. Check it out. 73, Rick Palm, K1CE. And that's the ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter for September 18, 2013. The ARRL Aries Audio E-Letter is a monthly service of the American Radio Relay League, ARRL, the National Organization for Amateur Radio. The Aries Audio E-Letter is a voice version of the ARRL Aries E-Letter, which is compiled and written by Rick Palm, K1CE. To learn more about amateur radio, or to get the latest in amateur radio news, visit ARRL.org on the World Wide Web. Our thanks to this month's contributors. My audio script editor is Al Brown, KZ3AB in Laurel, Maryland. Thanks for listening, and 73. I'm Tony Riggs, W1FHN, reporting from Lanham, Maryland. Copyright 2013 ARRL, the National Association for Amateur Radio. All rights reserved.